Welcome back to our studio, where we have a special guest with us today, Toucan Sam from Fruit Loops. Toucan Sam, welcome.
It's my pleasure to be here. Oh, and it's Fruit Loops, just so you know.
Fruit?
Fruit.
Yeah, fruit.
No, it's Fruit Loops. The same way you say studio.
That's not how we say it.
Fruit Loops, find the loopy side.
Do you find yourself searching for true crime podcasts that are different from what you're always recommended? Do you want to make a real difference in the cases that you're following? Well, you're a crime junkie. And I'm Ashley Flowers, the creator and host of the number one true crime podcast, Crime Junkie. There are hundreds of episodes already available, and each Monday we dive into the details of cases spanning from some of the most infamous to those that you have never heard covered before. Listen to Crime Junkie podcast now, wherever you're listening.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
So I was having like a... I was kind of having a sad morning.
Oh, you had a sad morning. Why? What happened?
I was having a dumpy morning. Guinness, one of those.
Okay. Just
woke up in a cloud.
Oh.
And I went and I got myself one of these, like, they say they're breakfast bars. It's a fucking brownie. Right? It's a brownie.
Of course,
it's got chocolate chips in it.
Yeah.
It's got oats in it.
Yeah,
quote unquote.
That makes it breakfasty, and then you can be like, I'm a health nut.
Look at what I'm doing. It's got oats in it.
Of course.
But it's also got so many stripes of caramel. You gotta get something to convince you to get them oats down in your gut.
Absolutely. Caramel is a wonderful,
lubricant.
It's a lube.
It's a health lubricant.
Yes, it's a great encourager to get the oats in your belly.
But I was leaving the coffee shop, and there was a homeless guy on the street.
Right.
Right? And he turned to me and he said, hey, man, you got to get some of that brownie?
Right.
I said, yeah, man, here, of course, take the brownie. He takes it and he goes,
now I got your brownie. Now I got your brownie.
And I was like, I think I met a gremlin.
I'm very happy that it all worked out for that guy.
He was just screaming with maniacal laughter.
He
entranced me. Like he broke me, and he did.
He really did. Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben. I am with Henry Zabrowski. Of course, Henry is still in Los Angeles. And before we get to the creepy true crime tales of the week, we just have to say thank you to everyone who came out to our shows in Oakland, in beautiful San Diego, and truly one of the best nights of our lives. We had a chance to perform outside at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. 2,500 fans, people. You guys were so wonderful. So just thank
insane.
You so much.
It was a life-changing experience. It was so much fun to perform upon graves.
It was wild.
To project a video of a man shitting his pants on an active mausoleum.
Yes, that did
I can't
happen.
Wait to tell my grand dogs about this. I'm going to tell Wendy 3 and 4 about this.
Yes.
And it will live forever in infamy in our minds. What an amazing event. Thank you guys so much for coming and supporting us.
Absolutely. And thanks for the Hollywood Forever Cemetery for allowing us to present our wares and entertain the crowd out there. Everyone could not have been sweeter. All right.
And I will say, the owner of the cemetery, the guy who runs the cemetery, he's great. He's a character. But he really didn't do anything too creepy until the very end. And I was almost disappointed, but then he saved it. As we were leaving, he's like, and remember, you're always welcome back.
Above all, below ground.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Like, yes, yes.
I know. I kind of want, because she is literally a crypt keeper.
Did you see his
handsome
fucking Porsche?
Yes, I did. He is very handsome.
He had a vintage Porsche. It was nice.
It's very nice. But he's so clean cut and put together. I kind of wish that they could just hire an actor to pretend, and they could give him a day rate and be like, $800 a day. You just have to be like, welcome.
Don't sit in that chair.
That's all.
Haunted. Like immediately.
But I love it. You know, the first time we went there, we played at the Masonic Lodge, And this time, that was like our little green room, which was just, anyway, it was just amazing.
It was
so
wild.
Thanks so much for all the support, guys. We can't do this without you.
I also want to give a quick shout out to hashtag Cut50. I went to an event last night with Van Jones,
who's
Jack, Jessica Jackson, and the whole thing's about prison reform.
Great.
And they just released 2,200 prisoners that were under, basically over prisoned.
Right,
They were heavily vetted, and they've been released, and there's about two. They are going to release another 2,200 eventually, and it's a really cool organization, and I learned quite a bit last night about prison reform.
Well, that's wonderful, and of course, we cover that extensively on Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. Give that a listen, and it's called Cut 50 because they want to cut the prison population by 50%, right?
Yep, we have more imprisoned human beings than any other country on the planet, and if you even cut it by 50%, it is still more than any other country on the planet.
USA all the way, baby. Of course, the Chinese don't tell us, but we're not going to get into that right now. Who has more in prison? Because that's a Cold War all itself. But
it's very interesting.
We're going to talk about some people on this episode that probably should go to prison, I think it's safe to say.
That's the whole time I'm sitting there being like, I mean, like, oh, this is well and good, but we kind of still got to keep, like, there's certain people I think could probably stay in there. Yeah, I mean, I think there's some people that have done some things that probably could keep them in there. Or like, I don't know if we're going to be like, now, ladies and gentlemen, the new re-debut of the Golden State Killer. Here he is, and he's on Fallon. He's coming to Fallon. I don't think that's going to work out.
Honestly, if the Golden State Killer did go on Fallon, Fallon would just play a game with him. That's all that would happen, would be like a funny version of Plinko, and everyone would be like, oh, isn't that nice? We are so close to that, by the way. I was talking to my Uber driver, as I always do. And
yes,
because I flipped the script on them. Oh, you want to talk to me, the passenger? No, I'm flipping the script.
I will out-talk you.
Absolutely.
I will talk you to the point you will drive this car into oncoming traffic.
Absolutely. And he and I both agreed. It is just a matter of time. OJ and Casey Anthony, the reality show.
What's going to happen?
I'm going to say 2020. I think 2021 or 2020.
What? I don't know. It really depends. I think that, well, Casey Anthony is now positioning herself, right? Because she apparently has a self-produced movie. She has a couple of production companies that are trying to make a movie about her life that she's supposed to make almost Cinemax style. I think she's going to go a little bit into adult entertainment.
I
think she's going to pose nude. I think she might do a couple of pornography films.
Yes.
I think she might do that. I think she might have another daughter. I think when she has another child, I think she will. And I think that will all position her into doing some form of media push. I think that she is just about to have a television show. And OJ is right around the corner. His, like, Dave Barry-esque, old man-friendly Twitter account
is crazy.
It is full-on dystopia.
It really is. And, you know, as soon as the economy collapses in, like, 2001, 2002, I think that's where we're going to start seeing it. Once everyone is fully engaged in, like, massive depravity and just being like, nothing is going right, everything sucks. Now it's time for OJ and Casey to lighten the mood.
Well, it's the perfect time, especially in a deep recession.
Yeah.
For this kind of morbid entertainment, because it's anything that's different than your current reality. And seeing these, like, it's a new thing to be mad at, and eventually being mad is just going to be another form of being entertained. That's
absolutely
kind of where we're at already. We're already close to it.
Oh, for sure,
So that's why Twitter exists the way it exists. That's why the media is so successful right now, and why Donald Trump is president, and why he will continue to be president, is because these people are addicted to being upset. And so we are going to see this. It's all going to happen just for the rage tsunami will happen afterwards.
Absolutely. Rage is a very monetized emotion right now. That is definitely going to happen. But let's get out of this country and reality television. Let's talk about what happened in Canada. So evidently, this story is totally crazy, and this is honestly a side stories alert. Be on the lookout. We got two folks on the run.
Now, this is a story that is developing, so we don't have a lot of details.
Right.
But apparently, two lifelong friends, and this is reported by the CBC, two lifelong friends previously reported missing are now suspects in the homicides of a young tourist couple gunned down in northern British Columbia last week, as well as in the suspicious death of another man whose body was found near the friends' burnt-out truck days later. RCMP, that's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Oh!
They said Tuesday that Cam McLeod, 19, and Briar Schmigelski?
Yeah, I believe it's Schmigelski. Cam McLeod, 19, and Briar Schmigelski, 18.
are suspected of shooting Australian Lucas Fowler, 23, and American China Dees, 24. The couple's bodies were discovered along the side of the Alaska Highway south of a popular hot springs tourist destination on July 15th. 4 days after the bodies of Fowler and Dees were found, McLeod and Schmigelski's burnt-out truck was then discovered near the community of Dees Lake, BC, more than 470 kilometers away from the first crime scene. Now, I'm not really sure yet, and eventually...
The
body of an identified man in his 50s or 60s was found 2 kilometers south of the truck. Now, they have not really released why they are connected yet.
No.
We don't know why they're connected.
They haven't released. So it's a total of 3 potential murderers. The body that they found of this 50 or 60-year-old dude, totally unidentifiable, completely burned up. So they don't even know who that dude was yet. And people really have no clue what the hell happened here. It seems like just a massive surprise. This is according to Sergeant Janelle Showit. She says, "We are asking the public, if you spot Cam or Breyer, consider them dangerous. Take no actions. Immediately call 911. And everyone that knew these kids... I guess they were like a little bit problematic, but overall, it doesn't seem as if they were like kind of like it wasn't crazy. Schmelsky said on Monday, speaking a day before his son and friend were named suspects, this is his father. He said, they're just kids on an adventure. They're good boys. Obviously, that doesn't seem to be playing out in their favor right now.
It seems highly out of character. We don't know what exactly happened. They just graduated high school. They just spent 5 weeks working at Walmart together. They're two best friends. So
right.
They're working at Walmart together. They got sick of doing it, apparently. And then they went on like some grand road trip to search for adventure. And according to the father, Al Schmigelski.
Schmigelski.
Good, strong name. Good, strong name.
Oh, yeah.
He said, they're just kids on an adventure. They're good boys. And it's like, we don't know yet.
We don't know
what happened. They were last seen, I believe, at a Home Depot. They don't know what they were purchasing, but they were shot on one of these, like they have those, when you go to a self-checkout, they have cameras on the top of it, and they got a picture of them, and then 2 of them, one looking like, kind of looking like J. Allen Hynek. I think it's Cam McLeod. He's got the Van Dyke going on. And what I love is that he's wearing a Cthulhu shirt. It's like a super cute, like kawaii Cthulhu shirt.
Right.
And I love how they try to describe the clothing of this shirt. It's being like, Cam was last seen with a shirt bearing the likeness of Cthulhu.
Whoa!
It is an ancient monster bent upon the destruction of humankind. Like, I don't know. Everyone's saying that apparently everyone's so scared in BC that they're all hiding inside of their homes.
I guess so.
And I understand that you are scared, but they are children.
Well, they're 18 and 19. Those are some pretty scary ages. They have the power of an adult and the mind of a child. They're Master Blaster all in one. And again, going back to this sort of being a surprise specifically for Schmigelski's family, Carol Starkley, that's his grandmother, said again, the boys were just going on an adventure. She says, quote, was a great kid. I really enjoyed having him. The only thing that seemed to point to a potential for violence, I guess, is a post that he put on his Facebook page, but this was in 2015, and I really don't think this is any connection whatsoever. I think this is just a joke. Schmelsky updated his Facebook page in 2015 with a poster that depicted a handgun and the tagline, "Guns don't kill people. It's mostly the bullets." So I
just think it's a Canadian joke. I think it's them just being, they're just fucking whatever. They're just nerds.
They're just
these
nerds.
These two little nerds.
But
they said that they were a huge fan of the game League of Legends.
Oh.
That's what we know about them. And they said Breyer was really quiet with people. He was really loud spoken in his friend group, but pretty quiet in general.
Okay.
We don't really know what the connections are yet.
No.
I want to find out how did we get to these two kids.
Absolutely.
But poor Al Schmigelski, he's now described himself as likely now the most hated dad in the country.
Oh, that's sad. You're not Mr. Shmelsky.
He said the family's trapped in their homes by a bunch of people with just hockey sticks. Let them leave.
Let them leave
their homes.
Absolutely. And of course, that is why, because these kids don't seem to have a checkered past, that is why initially the cops were like, I guess we have another potential homicide with these two missing kids. But as it turns out now, these two children are potentially going to be charged with the murder of three folks. So maybe these kids just got a Bonnie and Clyde bug up their butt. And we're just like, it's time to go on. They could be making, it could be a little Brokeback Mountain situation. We don't know. Literally, we know very little. But maybe they just went on an adventure. They wanted to go on an adventure. And they found themselves in nothing but trouble. They got in way over their heads and are probably currently, let's be honest, probably scared shitless.
Absolutely. I have no clue what they've just done. What I will say to Cam and Breyer, if you're listening to this right now, if you happen to be listening to the show, listen to this. You turn yourself in, because if not, we're starting it right now. The rumor, if it's not true or not, you guys are kissing each other in a hotel room right now.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely not. But if it's something that you're either proud of and you want to tell the world that you make love to each other, or it's something that would highly embarrass you as an 18-year-old boy, just know for a fact, you're just 2 million people just heard that Cam and Breyer are K-I-S-S-I-N-G in a tree.
Oh, my.
And that's it. That's now proof.
Perhaps a double tree, indeed. The old double tree hotel there.
Yes. Well, making love to each other.
It very well could be a Bonnie or more of a Clyde and Clyde situation in this case. Oh, I'm not sure who the Bonnie would be in the relationship. We'll have to figure that out when they come forward and proclaim their love for each other. Great strategy.
If their love could make them show the world how no one understands them, fucking do it.
See, this is why you do have the genetic makeup of a police officer. It is so ingrained to your core, you should just be a sheriff and just be like, oh, come on out, unless you're kissing on each other. And then they'll be like, oh, we're not kissing on each other.
I got another one. Get him. Homosexual fear does it again. I feel like I will be one of those honorary sheriffs.
Like Steven Seagal lawman?
Yes.
Now, how are you going to? You can't just be leader and only member of the slime gang and then get deputized. I don't think it really works that way.
I start hanging out at cop bars, start being friends with cops.
Okay. Eventually
they're like, he's a good guy. Oh, this guy? He's a good guy. He could be a cop. You get everybody drunk, really, really drunk. You know what I mean? They got a couple extra badges and they give you one.
Yeah.
Except you are then, not legally, but if you have a real cop's badge, you can pretend to be a cop.
You know, I almost asked directions from somebody who was dressed like the cop from Walking Dead. It was this woman at Comic-Con, and I was like, oh my God, how the hell do I cross the street? Because it's such a colossal pain in the ass. And I really was about to approach her and just be like, oh, ma'am, how do I get there? But then I realized she was dressed in character, and she was not an actual officer. So she did not have the power to help me.
That's dangerous, because she'd been like, yeah, sir, I guess, you know, but I tell you what, you've broken several laws. And go, oh, no, oh, no.
No,
it's like,
no.
Now, the only way you get out of this crime is you're going to have to eat my pussy.
Oh, my goodness.
All of a sudden, you're flipping it. You're the one who's getting hard now.
Oh, my. Horrible. Horrible indeed. All right. Well, this next story, speaking of male genitalia, this is sort of right out of the Jeffrey Dahmer files. This is a cooler was found, and this cooler happened to be filled with male genitalia. This takes place in Phoenix, Arizona. So evidently, these folks open up this cooler, and they found a head sewn onto a mismatched body, a bucket of limbs, and a cooler filled with penises are among the items that the FBI agents found during a raid on a Phoenix body donation business.
This reminds me of how, like, my mom had, like, we have three refrigerators
in
the house.
Of course, you have to, because you have to have all the meats. Because when there's a meat sale, you got to get all the meats.
That is what my mom does. My mom just banks it. She'll call me and be like, Henry Thomas, you know they had leg of lamb on sale for 75 cents a pound the other day at Costco. So I bought three and then put them into the freezer for when you come home. I was like, I'm not coming home for like 6 months.
Right.
She's just like, Yeah, but then it'll keep.
It will keep.
Like, that's what she does. She just, I've talked about this on the show. She just believes that if you freeze it, it's good forever.
I honestly, it really is good forever, unless, of course, you're a human being. I actually, this story is crazy to me because I didn't realize. So this place was shut down. It is a biological resource center. And it's
covered this a little bit. We've talked about these little dinky dinks over the last couple of years. This is a new thing now they're doing where it's like these are private enterprises.
Private
where
entirely.
They bank human parts. They get all these parts and they sell them to hospitals.
Well, and they also, so in Arizona, there's no regulation on this, which I will say, I'm not, you know me, I'm not like Mr. Pro, we need more regulation all the time, but I would say, maybe in this one case, maybe we want a little bit of oversight. Just a little bit.
One eyeball on the PETA sales happening in Arizona.
It's literally the body parts industry. Maybe just to put your toe in and just be like, so what you guys doing? You guys sewing heads to different bodies?
Listen, hey, I put my toe into this issue. Can I get my toe back? Is there a return policy?
So there are at least four body donation companies currently in Arizona, in addition to a nonprofit cryonics company that, quote, freezes people after the day they die with the intent of one day bringing them back to life.
That's cool.
It is cool. I don't think it's ever going to really work, but
right now, these are just refrigerators, though. There's a lot of talk, but until the other side happens, this story is just about fucking Ed Gein's freezer.
It really is. And this is not the first time that cops or the FBI have gone in there and been like, what the hell is going on? In 2014, an FBI agent raided the biological resource center. This is what he said. He said, quote, what he described it as, quote, various unsettling scenes.
Yes. Yes. So many of the body parts he saw were piled on top of one another with no apparent identification indicate what bodies they came from or to whom they belong. In addition to a quote-unquote cooler filled with male genitalia.
Right.
Sweenar testified that he also saw a large torso with the head removed and replaced with a smaller head sewn together in a Frankenstein manner.
Oh, my goodness. So,
he also saw large male torsos with limbs and genitalia removed.
Oh, my.
Otherwise known as, they're just like Lincoln Logs. Those are Lincoln Logs.
Jeez.
Buckets and coolers with various body parts, including a bucket of heads, arms, and legs. This is where Colonel Sanders would have happened. If he became president, it would have turned into this. Body parts piled on top of each other, and then steel freezers with body parts inside with no apparent identification, just willy-nilly. Literally willy-nilly.
It really does not seem to be working out. And surprisingly enough, after a raid in 2015, a dude named Stephen Gore was actually charged. His name happens to just be Gore.
Gore.
Naturally, Stephen Gore is in the human body business because that's just the way that themes work. So in October of 2015, Gore tearfully pleaded guilty to conducting an illegal enterprise after accusations that he had provided vendors with contaminated human tissue and used body parts in a way that donors had not permitted. So evidently in Arizona, this is a real problem.
It started as just a collection. Okay, I'm a curious collector. I went on to Storage Wars. This is what I won. And then I just kept adding parts, you know? Because it's like a man needs drive to live.
Of course.
I have to have something in this life, and Beanie Babies, that hit a dead end.
Okay, so some of you might be asking, what are these things going for these days? Well, we actually have a full price breakdown. So if you just happen to have yourself a whole body, but with no shoulders or head, that, my friend, that's a big money body. That's $2,900, 2,900 American dollar bills.
It's big, dude. All you need to do is have a body.
That's it.
Right? So if you just get several friends to will you, as they go, find a couple of your friends that live the worst lifestyles.
Sure, sure.
Have them sign up a piece of paper, like sort of like a loose version of a will.
Yes.
Saying that they get control of your body. You're making money.
Absolutely.
Okay. You're making money.
So let's say one of your buddies, let's say they were really nice. They willed over their torso and their head, but, you know, no legs. You're going to get yourself a sweet $2,400. That's $2,400. If one of
you,
that's actually, it's a little cheap, actually.
I'm actually very surprised. I actually knew, like, a whole foot just $450.
Yes, a whole foot is $450. So this is what Ed Gein was thinking. He was making money on top.
This is the thing. What I don't understand about this, all this is well and good. I understand the organ donator system is corrupt. This is how, like, Dick Cheney has had four hearts, all this kind of shit. I know that you can just purchase this shit.
You can.
But what really is the point of just buying a foot?
Just to, like, have
what
it?
What is that foot going to do? Is it just keeping it on ice literally for yourself just in case you need a new foot?
I could see. You never know. Honestly, you never know when you're going to be riding a bicycle and your foot's going to shred off on the gravel. You never know.
But why wouldn't you just get one of those blades like that one murderer guy had? They're really good
Pistorius or whatever.
Yeah, why didn't you get one of those blades? Wouldn't that actually be cooler than a foot?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's for a museum, or maybe someone wants to put a foot on their head. I have no idea. But you can also get, for a whole leg, if you want, if you got more than just the foot, a whole leg is going for $1,100. A whole spine, which I think a whole spine is probably just going to be more used for like a wind chime or something like that.
Yeah, you just have a spine. Are you using it for to beat the dust off of rugs?
I have no idea.
Like outside?
It's possible. That's $950. A knee, $375. And a pelvis is going for $400. So those are your deals at the old body parts store.
So just on my body alone, let me see how much money I'm worth. So if you just carved up my body.
Yes.
Really, really fast.
But we're going to need a whole leg, a knee. I'm not sure if because you're smaller. Would I be more expensive?
Well, I guess you can't chunk it up. You would be more expensive.
I don't know.
Probably there's more body to play with.
Yes, it's a bigger spine. It's bigger knees, bigger foot, for sure.
If I was harvesting and selling your body, that's how I'd pitch it.
Yeah.
To try to get the prices up.
I mean, and
obviously.
Also, it's got to be supply and demand, right? So if someone needs one part of my body, they're also going to be my size. I'm in like the one percentile of height. So they're going to, I'm going to be like, I bet you I can go for $5,000. I bet
another uptick. Just another uptick. That's another boom, boom. Yeah, you could probably get, I imagine you, shoulders, no head. I would put you at, I'd say I'd start the bid at $5,000.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And then see if they negotiate me down.
I mean,
because of your lifestyle. I don't know if they need to look at your blood.
No, it doesn't seem like that.
Because we will have drained all your blood.
Yes,
the
exactly.
One thing that we can't really sell is your gout-ridden foot.
No. Although if you detach the foot, does the gout stay in it?
I think, unfortunately, it is like a ghost. I think you've made a little fat man Annabelle down in your ankle.
I don't know.
That will travel forever.
Oh, maybe I will. But that's another tall tax. That's another example of the tall tax that never gets discussed.
It never gets discussed. Nope. I completely agree. We all have our crosses to bear,
I
don't
know,
we?
I know.
Live from your grave.
Last Podcast on the Left is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You don't want to miss Fluid Engine, because if you do, it ain't coming back around. It is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. So let's say, we're doing well so far. We're moving these picks. If you want to move the Judge Reinhold non-clothed edition of a horse picks on the Clydesdale, you can drag it straight to your cart. It's that easy. You also can drag an entire giraffe ride trip for your family. Because daddy gets the back of the head, right? You just drag that from the option menu straight to your cart and don't delete, because I'll know if you deleted. I'll know if you did it. Thanks to Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.com.
Live from your grave.
All right, this story. I want to talk about this. This is a fucking sensor. So for, well, again, maybe we could regulate some of this human body part sales at the same time. I'm a free market person, sure, so it does what it's got to do. Again, because you never know when you're going to need a foot.
You just never know.
We're going to sit and we're going to damn these companies when one day they might show up and be the one thing that we need. I have got ugly feet. I'm not going to get the cameo numbers that I need for people to buy videos of my succulent feet.
I don't think that it's
my
good,
go and
though.
I get my feet replaced. It's an investment in me. It's an investment in my business.
Yeah, but if you go in there and you're like, oh, I need to buy a penis, and then they just open up an igloo cooler, start rummaging around in there.
It's you we got in here, like, flapping around. Yeah, just, like, oh, this is no good. This one's too pink. This is one to be like, yes, give me the one. Give me that one with the curve.
Indeed. So that's a new, that's a news to me. That's that section that we call news to me when it comes to Arizona. I know the state's a little fun. It's a little wacky. I just did not realize they just have body part stores scattered around with no regulation at all.
I think it's the coolest thing about Arizona that I've heard.
All right. Well, it's up there.
Here's this story. This was done by WhoTV.com. I think this is real, from Council Bluffs, Iowa. Remains found behind Council Bluffs grocery store cooler, ID'd as those of worker, missing for 10 years.
This is so sad.
This makes me want to blow my brains out. Can you imagine being forced to remain forever at the job that you hate?
Oh, in the cooler section.
Workers removing shelves and coolers from a former no-frills supermarket in Council Bluffs, Iowa in January discovered a body behind one of them. The remains were recently identified as those of Larry Eli Murillo Moncada, a former employee who had been reported missing November 28, 2009. Investigators used his parents' DNA to confirm the identity, and the clothes matched the description of his attire at the time he was reported missing, according to Council Bluffs Police Captain Todd Whittem.
Whoa.
Murillo Moncada's parents reported their son missing after he became upset and ran out of their home. They said that he was acting irrationally, probably because of medication he was taking. Officers contacted family members, other law enforcement agencies, nearby detention centers, and even the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency had he been deported to Honduras before making his way to the United States. What a sad,
this
what a sad
really
thing.
Is. So how the hell did this happen? So evidently he ran to the supermarket where he worked. There happened to be about an 18-inch gap. And now, this was between the wall and the cooler. Evidently, he fell in there. They say no one could hear his cries for help because of the sound of the cooler. It is called the No Frills Supermarket, which I do like that they just let you know. That's the thing. Whenever you're in, like, maybe a poor neighborhood or something, oftentimes the surrounding area will be like, you get what you pay for, supermarket. Like, it's like, I know, I get it, no frill supermarket, but could you at
least...
We
got yams sometimes.
Yeah.
That's just the name of the store. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why they have they really lower expectations before you enter the supermarket, which might be good.
But this is kind of Elisa Lammy, right?
It is, where yes.
It's an 18-inch gap, so... In his upsetness, are we saying that he crawled to go sit? I mean, maybe. Who knows? He could have just sat on top of the freezers as his, like, I'm king of this world now. I go up on these freezers. I king of everything I see.
Yeah.
And then he just slid into the gap. I don't really know. Well, Elisa Lamb, if you don't remember,
of course,
was found on top of the now called the Stay on Main, used to be Hotel Cecil.
Yep.
Was found folded up inside of a water tank. And everyone wants to say that she committed self origami, where I don't know if she did.
No, because
this is the same thing.
Wasn't the lid on the water tower?
So there's many weird details.
Yeah.
There's many strange details.
And of
but
course,
this is another story. Like, he somehow fell in the gap, or maybe he dropped something.
Maybe.
And he tried to get it, and then he slid into it. But the saddest thing in the world is the freezers going, and you don't hear him going, hip,
yep,
hip.
Well, evidently.
Hip, that's fucked up.
Evidently. So when he ran out of the house, it was also a blizzard. A blizzard was happening. And this is just kind of strange. This is what his mother said truth. Through a translator in 2009, she says, quote, he was hearing voices that said, eat sugar, in his head. So he was hearing voices that said, eat sugar. She goes on to say, he felt his heart was beating too hard and thought if he ate sugar, his heart would not beat so hard. The blue clothing found in his body in January matched the description by the parents. So there's something going on. He fell also. It wasn't just an 18-inch gap and like a, you know, a short fall. He fell 12 feet. So, yes. Anyway, I guess it's good to have some closure for the family. But usually in these missing cases, missing persons cases, we never find a body. So it's just interesting that this is what happened.
It's so sad. And I feel like it goes into, if you read anything about like the missing 411, all of the...
Oh, yeah.
All of these mysterious disappearances that happen in the national parks.
Right.
This has been a thing that has been... constantly touted by a man named David Politis, and it's interesting to see just how many ways you can just slide through the gaps of reality and just be like, blink, you're just fucking gone.
You're just
gone.
There's
such a complicated story where, like, no one would have found his fucking ass. No one would have found him if they just didn't happen to be ripping that up. It's weird how life can just... I don't want to say it happens with people the way it happens in real life, because you know how many times I've, like... Something happened to me recently. I was missing a very important piece of jewelry that I was given to me, and I was missing it. I couldn't find it, and I was nowhere. And I did this sort of like, I don't know whether it's just weed or it is just blips in reality.
Right.
Where I'm certain I looked on there. Like, I have a little thing where I could hang my bullshit, like my little tchotskis, like a little kind of like a tie hanger thing, whatever,
sure.
A little tray. And I looked at it, and it was gone, and I came back, and then it was just back there. I know this is this means nothing when it comes to this case or when it comes to missing human beings. But it is strange about how I believe that, you know, reality is very wiggly, and you can just blip and then blip back.
The human brain can play tricks on all. Indeed.
This is a story about this fire that happened at Kyoto Animation. 34 confirmed dead after a fire at Kyoto Animation. Mm. A suspected arsonist is in custody. This was written by Brian Ashcraft. A fire suspected to be arson at a Kyoto Japan Animation Studio has left at least 34 people dead. This is a beloved animation studio.
Yeah.
A 41-year-old man allegedly seen pouring a flammable liquid at the site and setting it on fire has been taken into custody. Apparently, one witness said the suspect was screaming, "Die!" as he lit the fire.
Right.
Another witness interviewed by the Asahi Shimbun said that she heard the suspect tell the police in response to being asked why he allegedly started the fire, "They ripped me off." A backpack and bag believed to belong to the man was found nearby. In it were several large knives and a hammer. The man, Shinji Owaba, has reportedly never worked for Kyoto Animation, nor is he directly connected to the company. He is currently in the hospital with serious burns. Owaba is quoted as saying, "I started the fire because my novel was stolen by them." He is a real-life, what's his name?
Milton from Office Space.
Yeah.
So he managed to kill 34 people. This really is just extremely, extremely sad. No evidence of any, like, idea theft. Most likely, obviously, this person is extremely mentally unstable. Most likely, he just watched one of their animations and was like, "I had that idea, I had that thought," and they're like, "We never heard of you, bro." Also, human beings oftentimes share similar ideas and similar thoughts. We're not as unique as we would like to be, and if you want evidence of that, just talk to stand-up comedians about the Dane Cook butthole. Dane Cook had a "my butthole itches" joke, and then there was a bunch of other comedians be like, "I have the butthole itches" joke, and then
it's
they fought with each other.
A lot of people that do.
A lot of people have one because a lot of people have butthole itches.
Yes, there's people have butthole itches. Parallel thinking is a massive part of society. We're linked psychically. It's one of those things. We're on a gigantic network. So these ideas freely will travel between human beings.
Absolutely.
But this guy was obviously very sick. This is an incredible tragedy.
It really is.
Because these people have lost, all of the archives are gone.
Oh.
34 people dead. I'm almost amazed it doesn't happen more often. You have how often Saturday Night Live steals people's ideas actively?
It does
when you go
happen.
In and audition. This is completely real. Like, like, I won't put anybody on blast, but I've had several friends who have tested for Saturday Night Live and then characters that are suspiciously similar to what they were working on end up on the show. It is common practice.
Of course.
I was reaching a story originally where there was another story that had just come out about a man who was working for a production company who wrote a script several times that was this original idea. He sent it in. A movie comes out, the same exact idea. So they do steal shit.
It happens.
They do steal shit. But this is not that case, because this man had nothing to do with this company.
No, and according to a former firefighter, so how did this fire spread so quickly? Evidently, it spread through a spiral staircase that basically acted like a chimney. So it just spread extremely fast, and it was just a matter of minutes before this entire building was completely engulfed, and they were keeping everyone updated via Twitter. So it was literally like, you know, hearing 25 dead, 33 dead, and so on and so forth. So that is really just ultimately extremely sad, because animators, you know, they're not the most athletic. They're not going to be able to get out of that building. They're sitting ducks in there. They're working. They're thinking about, you know, what would this cloud say to this random tortoise? Like, they have a lot going on.
That's why we need standing desks.
That's a good point.
That's why you need a standing desk.
I love a good standing desk. I do technically have a standing desk. It doesn't go quite high enough for me, but it is.
That's the problem.
We have the same desk.
You ever thought about putting it on books?
I should do that. I could use those books for something anyway. that would be good. So anyway, that story, it's just sad. I don't know. So this guy's Shinji,
a terrible story.
Abba is going to obviously face some massive repercussions there.
It is a terrible story. What a terrible story. I hope that they can recoup. I hope that they can come back. I mean, I believe anybody that attacks one of these creators' establishment, it's absolutely brutal. There's no reason to kill people.
Don't kill people. All right.
Go for that. Try to sue them. If a company takes your ideas, you have to set up the precedent that they took your ideas, and then you try to sue them. That's the way to get them. Go at their fucking wallet.
Yes, and
get that money.
No way you'll lose that. And as a matter of fact, no, it's not. You might win. I mean, it's possible. It's like, you know, you go to Las Vegas, you can put it all on black and see what happens. You know.
But no, but you could attack them enough, either on the internet, if you get enough groundswell to attack them. It's pretty great.
No, absolutely. All right, well, let's do this week's Hero of the Week. Of this week, you know what it is, Henry?
What?
It's a hamburger. Isn't that fun?
You know what? You choose these stories, right? I know that you like looking for the hero, and this is what you wanted to do. You wanted to celebrate a non-living entity today, and that's fine.
Well, okay, so for those that don't live on the East Coast, you might not know, we don't got no In-N-Out Burger, okay? The In-N-Out Burgers, that's a West Coast thing. But
there's one in Salt Lake City.
Maybe they've gone as far as Salt Lake City. They're expanding, but they're not here yet. So a New York dude, he was just walking around. He found a pristine, and I mean it, there's a picture here in this New York Post article, because the New York Post only covers the most important issues of the day. He was walking in Queens. He found this thing, pristine condition, on the sidewalk, and he said that he was in shock over the case. And he said, quote, This dude's name is Lincoln Boehm. He's 31 years old. He said, "It genuinely shook me to my core. The Santa Monica native and his wife, Dara Katz, had time to kill before they were going to get on this train." So he said it was sitting on an empty block, it was totally untouched. And he said it was sitting comedically, like perfectly up on the street, completely untouched. He said, we didn't touch it.
This is an In-N-Out advertising. This is like a weird cultural meme that they've paid for.
Could be. He said, "We didn't touch it." He continued, "We stopped for a second, took some photos, looked around to see if anyone else was noticing, and then walked on." And he said it looked as if it had come off the grill just 5 minutes before. There are no In-N-Out burgers east of Kansas City. And Boehm, he's an expert here. He said he's had over 1,000 In-N-Out burgers in his life and called the delicacy my death row last meal. Isn't that crazy?
So, this is advertising for In-N-Out. We are doing free advertising. We have not getting paid. I think In-N-Out is fine. I'm going to say this right now before you call us shills. I think In-N-Out is fine. I think there are other burgers that are better than In-N-Out.
I actually am not a big In-N-Out fan. I've only had it one time, but it was a little old. Maybe it was just my experience.
This was solved 45 minutes ago.
Wait, we're just getting a live update that this was solved 45 minutes ago. What is this?
Okay, Travis.
This is solved. Yeah, it was a 16-year-old girl who was flying back from San Diego.
And she had it.
She had three In-N-Out burgers. One of them fell off as she was running to a shuttle to make it to Jamaica, Queens.
Oh, my God. We solved it live right here on the show. This is interesting, though.
Where did she get the burgers?
What's that?
In San Diego.
Where did she get the burgers? So she flew to New York with them. And
she ordered them from In-N-Out and asked the In-N-Out employees what was the best way to keep them fresh on the flight. So they didn't put sauce on the burgers. And then they packaged.
So she took a fucking 6-hour flight.
Yes, she had them sitting on her lap for the entire 6-hour flight. And she packaged the vegetables separately and then assembled them when she arrived in New York.
This woman is my hero. I want to marry her. I love
her. She is 16.
Oh, never mind. Scratch it. Honestly, 16-year-old. But not... Okay, stop. I did not know she was 16. But honestly, she's tenacious. She's got a good future ahead of her. Because
you wait a full year and a half and you can make love to her.
No, that was just a joke, Henry, because I didn't even know her age. My goodness gracious. What is wrong with you? No, but she's gonna be very successful in life. Because that's interesting, because Boehm, this dude in the story, he's like, "Oh, I've never even seen this happen," because he tried to do that same thing. He tried to go to New York from Los Angeles with him, and he says, "Every time I've done it, it becomes inedible. The bun gets soggy and becomes a mess. This one is just in perfect condition. It just felt strange. At first, I thought it was some sort of viral marketing thing. But indeed, it was a tenacious 16-year-old girl who, I'm going to say, flip it and reverse it, the hero of the week is the 16-year-old girl."
What a great story.
Wow. That unraveled.
It's an important. It's got a point, and it educates, and it's great. I have some listener letters I'd like to read.
All right.
Here we go. I love my listener letters. And I have some corrections, I have some admonishments, and I have some celebrations of our work.
Okay.
In your most... So this comes from B.
Okay.
In the most recent episode of Side Stories, Henry quoted Amber Nelson with regard to meeting people on the internet. "You gotta know what somebody smells like." This has prompted a response for me because I have what's called anosmia. Anosmia. Anosmia is the condition of not being able to smell. Aww. While clearly not as dangerous as being blind or deaf, it is on par with those things because anosmics are lacking one of the five senses, or six or seven, depending on how you count them.
Right.
Most people become anosmic after severe head trauma, car crashes leading the list. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the survivors of serial killers, like Richard Ramirez, ended up as anosmic because of how they were beaten. Others, such as myself, are born without a sense of smell. This is called congenital anosmia. I wish it worked like Daredevil, where my other senses were more awesome to make up for the anosmia.
Right.
But tragically, my only superpower is to drop hellacious farts with impunity, which is honestly kind of worth it. I wanted to be clear that I wasn't offended at all by the quote, but it's an opportunity to educate you guys, and perhaps others if you talk about
there
it on
the
show, that the condition exists. And you guys definitely enjoy knowing the weirder parts of reality and the human condition, so there you go. The point is, I've never known what something smells like or somebody. Not my friends, my family, not my girlfriends, not my kid, not one. And yes, Henry, this means I have no idea what pussy smells like. I can't compliment a woman's perfume. I don't even know if she's wearing it unless I kiss her and I taste it. I don't know what someone's pillow smells like. I spend many of my waking hours with my dog who sniffs me all the time, but I don't know what he smells like.
Well,
this might seem kind of tragic, but it's always been like this for me. But imagine what it's like for the people who weren't born this way. Imagine if tomorrow you could no longer smell Natalie, Henry. How would that impact your relationship? How might it change how you feel about your home with all its scents gone? So yeah, it sucks for me. But I've never known these things. People who lose their sense of smell? I can't imagine what that's like.
Well,
so to answer
right.
a few common questions, yes, I can taste things. No, I don't know if my sense of taste is as broad as yours because I've never tasted anything with your tongue. Yes, I might blow up my house if there's a gas leak. And I learn whether a pussy is nasty by simply asking the woman if she's ever been with Kissel.
Oh, right. We got roast mode. Roast mode indeed. Okay.
But that's really fun. Thank you.
Very educational.
Thank you for the
educational.
All right. Another here's another educational email. This is from D. I am a clinical pharmacist, and after listening to Creepypasta 14 and hearing all of your frustrations on the ambiguity of unexplained nocturnal death syndrome, I figured I'd reach out to give you some additional insight on what that syndrome means to the medical community.
Okay.
A syndrome is a combination of symptoms resulting from a single cause or a combination of symptoms so commonly occurring together as to constitute a distinct clinical picture. Basically, something gets called a syndrome when we keep seeing a bunch of symptoms that seem to accompany each other, but we don't really know the underlying cause or mechanism of disease. There are exceptions, such as AIDS or Down syndrome, but most syndromes are not as well understood. Where this actually becomes helpful is when we are trying to treat the symptoms. For example, cannabinoid hyperemia syndrome, which is characterized by intense periods of vomiting associated with excessive cannabis use, is largely non-responsive to typical anti-nausea drugs, even ones used to treat the vomiting caused by chemo. However, hot showers, baths, or rubbing capsaicin cream on the belly appears to alleviate the symptoms just fine. We have no idea why this works. This treatment would not work for typical nausea vomiting. By identifying the syndrome as the cause of the nausea vomiting, we're able to provide a more specific and effective therapy. Very interesting. Then additionally, by giving the process a name, it allows researchers to more easily identify cases of the syndrome and potentially find an underlying cause. Now, this probably does not do anything to help ease Henry's mind about suddenly dying in his sleep, but I hope this helps clear things up a little bit.
All right.
He said, if you really want to get fucked up, look up a thing called Stevens-Johnson syndrome, where it's basically a completely random-ass reaction you can have to any sort of antibacterial drug or medication, where gigantic rash blow up all over your lips and face.
Oh, my. That sounds absolutely horrible. I think I saw a video on LiveLeak very similar with that disease, actually.
Mm.
Do you remember that? The guy playing the guitar.
Horrifying. Oh, yes.
Very scary, very sad.
Very sad.
Very sad.
And I have one last letter.
Okay.
This comes to you, and this is for you, Kissel.
All right.
And it really is really nice to hear. This comes from S. My husband and I love your podcast. We always listen to your podcast on Sundays before we have to start a new week of teaching. My favorite podcast themes are your Creepypasta apps and your recent Relax Fit apps. That's so nice.
Very nice.
Both
thank
my
you.
Husband and I are special education teachers, and we've heard Ben's reading process over the years. Oh, wait. Both my husband and I are special education teachers, and we've heard Ben's reading progress over the last few years. I'm writing to let you know that you've done a great job of being able to keep your place in the text, not skipping lines or substituting words, Ben. This action shows that you've worked on your reading fluency and comprehension over time. Your hard work as a parent, and we hear you.
I love it. Nice. Thank you so much. It's a bit. It is a bit, but I do love it. Thank you very much. And honestly, thank you for being a special ed teacher. That's very good. It's an extremely difficult job. And there's a lot of kids out there in need. Very
that
sweet.
That fucking made me crack up.
I know that it did, Henry. I know that it did. You laugh at the things that are hurtful to others. No, I love it. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. And thanks again for everyone who came out to our shows, We can't wait to see everyone else on the road. Also, thanks to everyone who came out to Hail Yourself America, my little documentary premiere. Wonderful stuff. Very exciting. I can't wait
to
hit the...
Very proud of you.
Thank you.
Very proud of your process, and I can't wait for more people to see this shit.
We're going to hit the town with it. I'm going to go on a little mini tour myself with that. And, of course, Henry and I are also going to be doing
our first ever story.
Yeah.
Just Side Stories. This is on November 8th at the Death Becomes Us Festival in Washington, D.C.
Yes, this is going to be a blast. Travis might actually join us on stage. We're still figuring out what the show is going to look like, but come on out and hang out with us. It's going to be an hour of just fun banter. And, we're very excited for all the cool things ahead.
Fun
banter it is, baby.
It's going to be fun. So live your life every day.
Yes,
like
you got
you're not trapped behind the cooler of your horrible fucking job. Remember that. Love.
Absolutely.
That you are not trapped behind the cooler of a grocery store. There's something about this story just fucking haunts
me. It's just so sad because you can imagine what's going through that person's mind. I mean, just horrible.
It's like, oh my God, it's like being stuck in an audition.
Oh, just like that, other than the fact you get to leave an audition, you're still alive at the end of it.
Just like it, and laugh. Every day, you get to spend not trapped behind while you're going, help, as the noise go over, the noise of your nightmares, which is the sound
really
of the freezers you have to stock every day.
Ugh. Poor man. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hey, and you got to love yourself before you can love anybody else.
That's true. Love yourself, guys. We're working through it. We're going to do fine.
Every day is a struggle. It's a struggle, but learn. You are worthy.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
You're like the opposite of Wayne and Garth when they met Alice Cooper. They were not worthy, but you are worthy.
They were not worthy. I know. But you are. Hail me.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.